Today, Lord, we proclaim that you are great, that you are good, you are almighty, and you have loved us. And God, we thank you and praise you, Lord, with our hearts, with our lips, with our voices. And Lord, now I pray that it would be with our ears and our minds. God, help us come to your word ready for you to do a work in us. Not with our preconceived dispositions and preconceived ideas, but Lord, open to what you would have for us today. Help us, Lord, to tremble at your word, to be encouraged by your promises, and to be challenged by your commands, that we might see you work in us. And we'll give you the praise for it. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed to Kids Connect. And let's take our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. It's always exciting when we get to begin a study through a portion of Scripture. It's always exciting knowing what's in the book of Ephesians and knowing what we're going to get to talk about and what we're going to get to discuss. And to see how God can use this word for us. The past couple of weeks we've been talking about the church and been talking about some of the New Testament ideas of the church and how that plays. And it goes right into what we're going to be seeing in Ephesians, because we see a lot about Jesus Christ in connection to the church and how that works out. One of the last books that we just finished preaching through was the book of Colossians. And in Colossians, we see Christ lifted up and being preeminent above all things. And in here in Ephesians, we're going to get to see it as Christ in his connection with the church. And we're going to see this idea of unity in the doctrinal aspects of Ephesians and where he's writing and giving us a lot of teaching. And then in the instructional section, we're going to see about our walk and how to walk worthy of what God has called us to do. But what I love about preaching through these books of the Bible is we get to allow the Bible, the Word of God, to speak to us. And we get to see how this picture plays out from week to week throughout this book. Now, the book of Ephesians is a letter. It's known as the epistle. It's under the genre of a letter. And it is much like what, you know, we would see in Paul writing to this church, this group of people in Ephesus. And these letters, as they went to these churches, they didn't just stop there. They would be read there. They would be circulated and in these different areas and these different places. And we see how this had so much of an impact in letter writing. And this was one of the main ways that the apostles could bring about teaching and the doctrine and different things in different places. And really, letter writing is a lost art form today. I mean, how many of you, let's be honest, how many of you have written a handwritten letter to somebody in the past week, month, year? Okay, we got a year. All right. So we got one in the past year. All right. It's amazing how much letter writing has changed through the years. You know what we call snail mail, right? And maybe we need Amazon Prime for our letters to get there, you know, back and forth. It's become a lost art form, but yet letters were a major way of informing, instructing, and even reminding that they would use. I remember some of the meaningful letters in my life came from my brothers at different points of my life. I remember, you know, I'm the youngest of the three, and it's Lance, Lee, and Lyle. And Lance with the ants, Lee with the fleas, and Lyle with the smile, all right? It's because I was the best of the three, and I don't mind that going out on Facebook to them as well. But you know, at different points, you know, being the youngest, there was many benefits, and one being my coat of many colors that I put in the closet for them. You know, there were many benefits, different things, but one thing is my oldest brother, he's about 11 years older than I am. He went away to college. He went to Troy State University in Alabama when I was in elementary school. And in so doing, a lot of our relationship in my foundational and formative years happened through letter writing. And he would actually write letters because he was a journalism major, all right, so he knew how to write and use proper grammar and things. And so he would write letters and send them to me. And I always would look forward to the day I got a letter from Lance. And I've told you this before. He would take Calvin and Hobbes, the comic strip, and he would trace little Calvins all over the page and write his own little comics and tell me about when he was coming home. And it was always fun to hear about what was going on at Troy and what he was doing there and to hear about that and when he'd get to come home. And I loved that about that letter. Going on, and as I was growing up, my middle brother Lee, he came back and to our church, and he was our youth pastor, and he was my youth pastor, and that's difficult, you know, being the pastor's son coming back and being a youth pastor in that church, he had to fight some battles and different things, and so those first couple of years, it was a different dynamic we got to learn and work through, but as we continued on, there became a partnership in that brotherhood, and it was a joy to be able to not only be in that youth group, but to be able to learn from him and pull that. By the time I was a senior, he was using me in different things. And one of the things that he did that was very impactful is each summer as we would go to camp, you know, we would hear impactful messages. We'd get things right. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they get to experience and they go to camp. They know, you know, God's speaking to them and they'll make decisions. And we used to have little decision cards and we'd write out the different decisions that we would make. And I remember my brother Lee, he took them after 1 year. It was my junior year. He took all those cards and he held them. And then about a year out, he wrote a letter and he put that card with them and he sent them to us. And so a year from that decision that I had made at camp the year before, I got this letter from my brother. And it had that decision card in it, and he said, you know, I've been praying about this in your life. And it was just incredible encouragement, but it was also a reminder. This is what I want to see God do in your life. When we look at this epistle, when we look at this letter, you know, so many times we look at the Bible and we see it almost textbook-like, and we try to break it down like a textbook, but we need to remember the heart of what Paul is doing here in writing this letter, that this was going to a group of people, and he was not only just informing, instructing them, but he wanted to remind them. He wanted to remind them of who God is and his blessings. You see, when Paul began to write the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in this letter was written sometime around A.D. 60 or 62. And this was around a time that Paul was in that Roman imprisonment. It is where he was in chains, but yet he had some freedom to have visitors. It was kind of like a house arrest where he was chained to the Praetorian Guard. And he had some freedom to write letters, to do these different things. And in so doing, it had been about 7 years or so since he had been in Ephesus. Ephesus was a place where he had stayed about 2 years. He had done a lot of work. He had put a lot of effort in. You can read in Acts chapter 20 in his farewell address to the elders at Ephesus of how much he just poured into those people. He says, I've held nothing back with tears. I have worked and I have done this in to be in your life. And so we're about 7 years apart from that. And a lot can happen in 7 years. And there were some things that were changing there in that ministry, and the cultural landscape had changed. There was some theological drift. And there was a need for some unity amongst the Jews and the Gentiles that were there in Ephesus. And so as Paul began writing, we see here in his greetings some reminders of God's blessings. Today, I've entitled the message, Blessed. And maybe we can be reminded of how God has blessed us. And let's look at these first three verses of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's really hard to stop right there, because he is beginning there this beautiful hymn, this beautiful song of praise that we're going to start unpacking next week and just really pour out who God is and this blessings that we have from God. But as we see this greeting here, and inside this greeting, sometimes it's very easy just to read through verse 1, read through verse 2. But I want you to see in these subtle reminders, we see that God blesses in Christ. That God blesses in Christ. That when we are walking with Him, and then when we are in Christ Jesus, we have the opportunity to see God do some incredible things with us. And in these first few verses, we have some impactful reminders of that. In verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you, peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is kind of a typical form greeting before he gets into this hymn of praise, but there are some beautiful reminders in this greeting. Because notice in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. He has blessed us in Christ. Our blessings are totally attributed to the work of Jesus Christ in us. And that begins this passage. It begins this letter. It begins this reminder, so that we have to be reminded that it is not about us. We did not deserve the blessings. It's about Jesus Christ and His glory that we are blessed today. And that regardless of whatever walk that we might come through, Jesus Christ is the source of that blessing. Placing our faith in Christ alone begins, and it gives us the opportunity for salvation, and it gives us the growth for sanctification. And Paul is showing us this, that how God is blessing us in Christ. And I want you to see three reminders this morning. First, because of being in Christ, God uses the little things. God uses the little things. Notice there first, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Think about that statement for a minute, and let's think about the background to it. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Think about who Paul was. Paul didn't start out as Paul, now did he? We know the history, we know the background of Paul. Paul was originally a man named Saul. And when you hear the name Saul, what do you think of? If you have your biblical history down there, who's another famous Saul that we see? How about the first king of Israel, right? The first king of Israel was Saul. And you remember why he was chosen? Because he was tall. He had the right stature. He looked kingly. I'm working on my kingly. Oh, Saul looked big. He looked tall. He looked like the king. But if you remember there in 1 Samuel chapter 16, you know, God tells Samuel, listen, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so when you hear this idea of Saul, you think of this vain king who went back and forth, who kept trying to kill David because he was worried about his throne. He was worried about his kingship instead of following what God wanted. He offered sacrifices the way he wanted to offer them instead of the way that God designed for them to offer them. Saul was a very vain person. And when you see Saul in the New Testament, he was a man seeking his own. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was righteous in his own mind. It's so much so he was breathing out these threatenings to the church. He was killing them. He was pulling them into the streets. He was martyring them because of Jesus Christ. That was Saul. But who is writing the book of Ephesians? Paul. You know what the word Paul means in Greek? polis? It means small. It means small. God took the Saul and made him into the Paul so that he might use him to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ. He took the small things. He took those little things. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. There on that road to Damascus when Saul met Jesus, he no longer went according to his will. It started to become because of God's will. And God took him and made him small, made him humble. So many times we are too much in our earthly knowledge to be used of God because we think I can do it. I got my way. I got my knowledge. I'm going to do it this way. I need this. I don't need this. And I'm going to do it the way that I want to. And God can't use us in that because we're too strong-headed in our own ideas. And sometimes He's got to make us small. You know, sometimes that's a little bit more work. And I'm not talking just about physical statures here. I'm talking about sometimes we're pretty hard-headed. And God has got to make us small so that He can use us in an incredible way. And once that happens, notice what happened. He became an apostle. An apostle is one that was called and sent by Christ. It's carrying this authority. And Paul is reminding these people at Ephesus, he's reminding them that, listen, I carry this authority. I am an apostle through Jesus Christ. I know the resurrected Christ. I met him on that road to Damascus. And it denotes an authority that's coming from Christ as his messenger. He is telling them right off the bat that this is an authority. This is something to listen to because I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, this was something that Paul did not just throw around. In fact, in Thessalonians, he tells them, listen, I could have brought all these demands upon you because I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, but I don't have to. And so when he's using this term, there's a subtle reminder here that he's saying that this word, this teaching, is coming from God. That's why as preachers that we stand up and we need to be opening the book and the word of God to say this comes from God, not just from what's in here. And Paul is trying to show this before them that I am the apostle of Jesus Christ. I am bringing you a message of God. And he gives there that added modifier, by the will of God. Oh, because if it was left up to Paul, his will was to be Saul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He looked righteous enough amongst the people. He looked like he had everything in order, but yet, who were the ones that Jesus had some of the biggest problems with? The Pharisees. And he had to say, listen, you are whited tombs. You look good on the outside, but on the inside you're filled with these dead man's bones. If that was up to Paul, his will, it was there as, hey, I want to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had all that zeal. And in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I counted all that but loss so that I can know Jesus Christ. I had to put my will aside and I had to let his will be done. And so Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, it was no longer his will but God's will. That was at work. That's what changed when he met Christ Jesus. It was a surrender to what God had purposed, and then he was used in a powerful way. And think about it. When we become small, when we become usable in God's hands, God can use us to do incredible things. But that means that we've got to become small. We're going to take the knowledge and the will away from us and put it in His capable hands. And say, it is your will, it is your way, and however you are guiding and directing, I'm going to follow, I'm going to surrender, I'm going to obey, I'm going to listen to your word, I'm going to follow the will that you have for us today. We'll be obedient to it. Sometimes we need to realize we are more clay than we are steel. And when we realize that we're clay, it's a whole lot easier being on that potter's wheel. It's a whole lot easier to be molded by the master. I'll never forget a couple spring breaks ago, we took the kids out to East Texas and to Jefferson and in Marshall, and In Jefferson, we were going to ride the airboats, but that was closed down, and so we were trying to find something to do, so we found this big pottery place in Marshall. And we stopped in there, and in the back, you can sit there and watch the guy at the wheel. And he would take that lump of clay, and he puts it there on the wheel, you know, and they add the water, they get it good and soft, and he starts spinning it, and then his hands begin to go to work. And his hands begin to shape and mold that clay. And when we realize that we're clay and we realize that we're nothing but jars of clay, then we can be put into work with the master's hands. Because that big lump of clay looks like a big mess of nothing until the master gets his hands on it. And when the master gets done, that's when you see the art. That's when you see something beautiful. That's when you see something purposeful. It has a purpose. It has a use. Sometimes we've got to make ourselves small so God can do something big. Be the small thing that it might boast of a big God. Because that's the way God loves to show His power. In Christ, we are blessed because the little things boast of the big things. But then secondly, we see that God creates new things. He creates new things. Notice there in the middle of verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have something new because he says to the saints who are in Ephesus. When he is using this term, he's bringing back an Old Testament mentality, an Old Testament idea. The idea of the saints is referring to that kind of people of God mentality. And if you think about it, who is he writing here to? He's writing to these Greeks, these ones in Ephesus, these ones that were the Gentiles. And he's bringing in this term, saints, that was usually reserved for this Jewish people of God and this idea. And now he's bringing in it, using it with these Gentiles. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. The idea of faithful there has the idea of believing. These are believers in Christ Jesus. These are the ones that are faithful to Him. These are the ones that know Christ as their Savior. Now you are brought in as new, as saints. These are ones that were thought to be excluded that God was including. And then notice in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a particular form that they used in letter writing and in greetings and how they wrote these salutations and all these aspects. And one of the aspects of in Greek philosophy is they would greet you based on their philosophy of life. One of the greetings was rejoice. Rejoice. It became popular through Plato and some of the other ones of how to greet in these letters, and they would say rejoice in their greetings. And rejoice is very close in the Greek language and just a few letters off from the word grace. So Paul would take that greeting and he would flip it and make it the understanding of grace to you. To show his philosophy. And then notice what happens after that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Peace, that shalom. The shalom was the typical Jewish greeting that would be given. And so he has taken here these greetings from these two different worlds, from the Greek world, from the Jewish world. He's combining them in this greeting saying grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's combining these two different worlds to bring about this new thing in following Jesus Christ. That there's something new. Something that is not according to the customs of this world. He was combining these greetings to show them that they had something new in Jesus Christ. And because of grace, we could have that peace. In Christ, we are blessed. In Christ, we see this grace. In Christ, we see that grace that brings peace. And this was something new. As we see, as we work through the book of Ephesians, we're going to see him talk a lot about unity. And we see Paul having to deal with this a lot throughout the landscape of the New Testament in that time period. There was this new dynamics that were happening through Jesus Christ as the gospel was sent for all people. And it was going out, and there was a new culture, and there was new ideas that were going forth. And praise God that it went forth, because we can come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ through it. And so when we see this new thing, and we see him talk to these Gentiles as though they are saints, and to give them this grace and this peace through Jesus Christ, he is showing them that the gospel is an invitation to all people. It's an invitation to the whole world to come to Jesus Christ. That all things can become new. Don't hold these blessings just to yourself, but understand that we have been blessed by God in Jesus Christ so that we might be inclusive for all people to come to know Jesus Christ. So that we might be on mission for all people to come to know the saving power, and to come to know the grace and the peace that's offered through Jesus Christ. You see, that's where the destructive power of racism and sexism and all those dividing aspects destroy the power of the gospel. Because the gospel was meant for the power of God through Jesus Christ for all people. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there is a new thing that Paul is bringing out here to the saints who are in Ephesus. This was a broadening of the scope that they had not been used to say Jesus Christ is open to all. You see, we cannot promote the newness of Jesus Christ with a mentality that brings that division. Because in Jesus Christ, all things can become new. Because the only modifier there in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says is, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, the only modifier is whether or not we are in Christ Jesus. It's not about our social status. It's not about our race. It's not about our gender. It's about the fact of being in Christ Jesus that we find that worth. There's these new things that happen because of Jesus Christ, and we are blessed because of it. I'm thankful he made it new. And not only that, the third thing we see here is that God has brought these blessings because God gives heavenly things. Notice in verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. Here he's beginning this hymn of praise, and there's so much here. I love to just spend a lot of time in it. But as we begin, I want you to notice two things in that verse. First, that he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing. This is an important designation because this is a blessing of eternal value. These are blessings that are not temporary. You know what? God could bless your bank account today, couldn't he? But you know what? For most of us, that's going to be pretty temporary. Because we could find something to spend it on. Or our wives could find something to spend it on. Don't make that bad as what it was. It was not bad. She spends it on good things like steaks and stuff like that. Now, we can make these material things very temporary. You know, we pray for healing a lot, and it's exciting when we see God work and we see God provide healing. But you know what? We still live in mortal flesh. The healing, it's only going to be temporary. Until that day when he brings us into the heavenly body. So when he gives us spiritual blessings, understand that the importance here is that this is something that lasts for all eternity. The blessings that we're talking about here don't go away. They last and stay with us, that with every spiritual blessing. He's going to unpack this in these next few verses. And just here are the few things that he's going to talk about. We're going to see the spiritual blessings of holiness, that he's made us holy. We're going to see the spiritual blessing of being adopted as sons. We're going to see the blessing of redemption, of forgiveness, of the Holy Spirit, of the glory and the hope of glory we have in Christ Jesus. Those are spiritual blessings that can't be taken away. But then not only that, the second thing there, the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's where we see the true value. That's where we see a lot of things happen. Because it's the value that lasts for all eternity. The things of this earth are only momentary. They're like a vapor. They're going to pass away and it's going to be just brief. I remember when I had a good back. And this weekend I was reminded I don't have a good back anymore. I can't do those things I used to do in some of those the different regards because this life is continuing on. It's moving through and it's just a vapor. And some of you can know that experience of how life moves so quickly and it moves these different things. And in this world and in this earth, it's here for a moment and then it's gone. It's fleeting. And when we want our blessings to be circled and just centered upon this earth, guess what? It's going to be gone. And we're going to be left disappointed. But when the blessings are eternal, when the blessings are in the heavenly places, we know that heaven is not going anywhere. And we know that heaven is our eternal, everlasting resting place. And there in heaven, we have a place that is with Jesus Christ. Just to give you a picture of it, in chapter 2, in verses 4 through 6, he says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." There in verse 6, he uses two past tense words, raised and seated, to describe our place in heaven. So guess what? When we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your salvation is secure. Your blessing remains because it's in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Where I am, there you may be also. We have that blessing in Him in those heavenly places. Don't live in the dumps when you've been raised to the heavenlies in Jesus Christ. You see, God knows how to give the best gifts. He knows how to give the best blessings. And Paul says, "He's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Where it comes from, this divine origination, makes all the differences. You know, in different seasons, we have the opportunity to see this picture in a small way. You know, I remember growing up in Florida, the different seasons, growing seasons, and in Florida they grow year round and have different harvests and different things, but one of the favorite times was when strawberries were in season. And there on the way to Tampa, was a little strawberry farm in Brandon Farms. And there in Brandon Farms, you could go out and you could pick your own strawberries and they're nice and fresh. And I don't care how many strawberry milkshakes you might get from McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or wherever, nothing matched the strawberry milkshakes and the strawberry shortcake from that little Brandon Farms right there on the side of Highway 60. Because of the fresh strawberries. And boy, it was a treat whenever we would be driving through there on the way to Tampa or something and we'd stop in there and we would get one of those fresh strawberry milkshakes. Why? Because of where it came from. Understand that our blessings are incredible because of where they're coming from. In the heavenly place. Here, Paul has used this opportunity to remind us here in the very beginning of the different blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Hey, me, Paul, the one that God has changed, who's made into an apostle, that I get to carry His message by His will to you saints who were on the outcast, but now He has brought in and made close because of Jesus Christ. We have been blessed by God through Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing from heavenly places. We are blessed. God blesses us in Christ. I think one of the greatest illustrations that we could see of this in a person was Fanny Crosby. She was born on March 24th of 1820. And some of you might know the story. Fanny Crosby was born with eyesight. She could see. She was born normal. And about 6 weeks old, she got an inflammation in her eyes. The family's doctor was out of town. And so there was another guy there who said that he had all the credentials. Said that he was licensed to practice. And so they took Fanny to this doctor, and looking upon her eyes, he recommended a hot mustard pack to be put on her eyes. And when they put that hot mustard pack on her eyes, it scarred her eyes so much that she lost her sight at 6 weeks old. From there, her father passed away. Her mom had to seek work in nearby towns and to do whatever she could to scrape things and keep things together, so much so that Fanny was given to her mom, Eunice, to raise Fanny. And I think that's interesting because Eunice was the grandmother of Timothy in Scriptures that passed on her faith. And Eunice passed on her faith to Fanny. And Eunice would not let Fanny use blindness as a crutch, and she began to teach her the Word of God, and she put the Word of God into her heart. Scripture memory was a big aspect. And they put all this in their heart, and they put all this in her life. They taught her the Bible, and they wouldn't allow her to use that blindness as a crutch, but to still be used of God in what she did. And Fanny became an incredible writer, wrote thousands of hymns, some believe up to as many as 9,000 hymns. Over 1,000 different poems. And she would write. One time a musician came to her with a tune and wanted to write a hymn based on the thought of "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." And wanted Fanny to write a poem to this. And Fanny just didn't have any inspiration for it. Until she was in a prison ministry. And as she was walking past some of the cells, she heard some of the prisoners cry out, "Pass me not, O Lord, pass me not." And there her heart broke, and she sat down and wrote the poem that became, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. On others thou art calling, do not pass me by." And she began to write all these songs and all these hymns and all these poems, and she didn't let any of it distract her from who she was in Jesus Christ. In fact, her first poem, "Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." She was the one that said, "I am thankful that I am blind so that the first thing that I will get to see is my Savior." She's the one that wrote the words, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the days long. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Are you blessed today? Shall we stand? This morning, as you're standing with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, can we just reflect on these spiritual blessings that we have thankful that God uses the little things. He transforms us, that He makes us small, that we might boast of the big things He can do in us. This morning, do you need to get small so He can be big? Yet He has created new things. Are you still trying to walk an old road? Still trying to walk an old path? Or do you know that He has created new things in us? He's created a new opportunity through Jesus Christ for you in your life. Or how about knowing that He has blessed us with things that will not pass? They're in heavenly places. There are things that will last for all eternity, that through Christ we might have holiness, we might have adoption, forgiveness, redemption, all of this that's not going to pass away. And this morning, as we come to this time, as we reflect on this, can we reflect on how we should respond to it? So maybe this morning He's calling out for more of you. Less of your way of doing things, and more of the will of God. Maybe He's wanting you to get smaller so He can boast of Himself. But however God might be speaking to you, we can be assured of this, and we can know that He is great and He has blessed us. Every good, every perfect gift comes down from the Father. And we can praise Him. Maybe in this time, in this response, we just bow and praise Him for how He has blessed us, that He thought of us when we had no business being thought of. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, so that we might say with Fanny, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. In just a moment, we're going to sing, Great Are You, Lord. The altar is going to be open if you want to come and just bow a knee and heart before the Lord. Or if you need to know Christ personally, to have that relationship with Him, to know the blessings of being in Christ and putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone, I'm going to be right down here. I'd love for you to come down here and take me by the hand and say, I want to know Jesus personally. If you need a place to be a part of the fellowship and to be a part of this body of believers as we go forward and try to share that love with others, this morning I'd love to have you come so we might show you how to become a member here with us. But in this time of response, this is still a part of our worship. And I pray that we would respond. Our Father, I pray now that You would use this time for Your honor and Your glory. Lord, help us not to let You pass us by. Lord, help us to move and respond to Your will today. We'll give You all the praise for it. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.